Hello and welcome to another video Manna podcast. I'm Pastor Jeff Glenn, and it's my pleasure to take you through the Bible each week and to get a little bit of knowledge and encouragement, whatever the Lord has for us today. So we've been in Genesis, and last week, Genesis 4, we left off with this assurance of God's promises. And we'll see that more clearly this week as well. That's a big theme of the Bible. And so we're in Genesis 5. And as always, as we're going through Genesis, I would encourage you to read ahead. So we're not going to go through reading verse by verse. We're going to get the big picture here and see what God has for us. And so take a few minutes and read through this each week before you watch, and you'll get a lot more out of it. But we can continue. I think it's important also to ground ourselves in the understanding that Moses wrote the book of Genesis after the Exodus. And so this was hundreds of years after the fact, but he was doing so under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so the first thing that we'll see here in Genesis 5 is this is the book of the genealogy of Adam, and it goes from Adam until Noah. And the first thing that you'll see once you start reading and studying genealogy is that there's controversy. And so it's not like the rest of Scripture doesn't have room for controversy, but somehow genealogies just seem to bring out the inner nerd in some people and even the outward nerd, right, for that matter. You know, they want to take a look at every detail and find the slightest discrepancy, and that's okay. The Bible can withstand scrutiny. The controversy in these genealogies lies in whether or not there are gaps in the people, in the genealogies. Is there any kind of time that's missing? And how long ago did these events take place? And is the Bible reliable in other places if it has errors in these? So those are big questions. One of them stems from Luke 3:36. So it appears to have a copyist error to the best of what people can come up with. It lists this guy, Cainan, as the son of Arphaxad. In other passages, in 1 Chronicles and others, he's listed as Salah or Shelah. And so it's a different name between Cainan and Salah. In fact, Cainan is listed much earlier as the son of Enosh in verse 9 of chapter 5. And where Arphaxad is after, it's in the line of Seth, out in the next section of genealogy in chapter 10, chapter 10 of Genesis. So there's some would say, well, see, this is an error. This means it's unreliable. Not what's going on here. Most likely what it is it's not a fatal contradiction. It doesn't mean the Bible's untrustworthy. It just means that there was most likely a copyist error. And we can kind of see that, like I said, in the other places where it lists Selah as the son of Arphaxad. And so we hold to 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And, you know, with the thousands of manuscripts, you know, we can determine that substantially what is written, you know, in our modern Bibles is faithfully translated from the original manuscript. So it's important to understand that the original manuscript that Moses would have written on is long since gone the way of history, right? That has been copied and copied again and copied again. So we hold that the Bible as originally written is the infallible Word of God. And so, you know, we consider that, you know, parts of the Bible are thousands of years old, like Genesis and the first five books of the Bible certainly are thousands of years old, multiple thousands of years old, and they've been copied thousands and thousands of times by the hands of men, you know, prior to the printing press, you know, something that would provide some sort of record, you know, certainly before the printing press, certainly before like a word processor or a computer where you could store and see any changes being made. But because we have so many of these ancient manuscripts, we can compare them, and we have a high degree of confidence that that those who labored to copy these ancient manuscripts and those who translated those ancient manuscripts from one language to another, they did so in good faith. We have a high degree of confidence they did so in good faith. There wasn't any monkey business going on. And where there were these copyist errors, these are just human errors. We'll take, a change from 8 to 18. Is this nefarious? Is it some kind of subterfuge going on? Well, the example we have is in 2 Kings 24:8. It says that Jehoiakim succeeded his father as the 19th king of Judah at the age of 18. Whereas 2 Chronicles 36:9 informs us that he was 8 years old when he became king. And so what's most likely gone on is early on a change from 8 to 18, and it just remained with the text as it came through history. And so, over these years, all these copyist errors have been well cataloged, and in no case do they change the substance of the text. And so we still hold, that especially in these cases, that the days and the generations described in Genesis are literal days, as we would consider them, and 24 hours period of time, and the generations that are talked about here, these relationships between a father and a son are just that, a father begets his son as described here, just as we would view that. So that moves us on to the idea of genealogies. They can kind of be, if you allow yourself to go there, they can kind of be dry and seem like, well, what's in here for me? But once you pay attention, once you kind of key into what's there for you, then there's a lot. We view history in quite a different way than the writers of the Bible. For example, the R.G. Collingwood said, "History is for human self-knowledge. The only clue to what man can do is what man has done. The value of history, then, is that it teaches us what man has done and thus what man is." Edmund Burke said, "In history, a great volume is unrolled for our instruction, drawing the materials of future wisdom from the past errors and infirmities of mankind." So man's history is focused on man, but what we have here is God-centered history. In Genesis 5:1, it says, "This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God." And so it's this likeness of God that calls us back to our Creator, that focuses and centers us on God as our Creator. And the value in these genealogies is seeing God at work through the generations to fulfill his promise. And so in this section, God's calling us, he's getting our attention to his continued providence. He's previously promised many things and asked many things of us. He's commanded that we go forth and multiply, and he's promised that there would be one who would crush the head of the serpent. And so what we see here is God's continued revelation of himself, while at the same time man continues to find new ways to rebel, God continues always faithful, working to carry out his promise. And we see the pride of Cain's offspring in the chapter previously, when Lamech declared that he should be avenged 77-fold, when Cain was only avenged 7-fold. But God provided Adam through Seth a replacement line for the one who would crush the serpent's head. It certainly wasn't coming from Cain. Cain had become corrupted, and all of his offspring kind of took that with them. And so even though, there's the encouragement, right? Even though man will continue to rebel, God will continue to reveal himself and provide, all the while pursuing mankind for a restored relationship. And so that's what's coming in the chapters ahead. We see continual rebellion, but also God's continual faithfulness to work to fulfill his promise to restore this relationship. And so we'll see in the coming weeks, you know, from Noah to Seth and beyond, to see how God provided for Jesus to be born to fulfill this promise. So stay encouraged and stay in the Word. Have a great rest of your week.